talking about now separation. Separation. Go ahead, if you want, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 19. This evening? Yeah. 2 Chronicles 19, I'm there. I win. What do I get, Bonnie? Thank you. Separation of separation. We believe that it is not a prerogative of Christians. What is that right? But we believe it is not a prerogative of Christians, but an explicit command to all believers to separate themselves from all forms of godlessness, apostasy, compromise, and worldliness. We believe that all the saved should live, not maybe if they choose to, should live in such a manner as not to bring reproach upon their Savior and Lord, and that separation from all worldly and sinful pleasures and practices is commanded by God. We further believe the Scriptures plainly teach that Christians should not marry or have other entangling alliances with unbelievers, that Christians should not fellowship with those who deny the faith. It does not say you can't necessarily be friends or befriend somebody and think you shouldn't really be friends, what we consider friends, but with them. But you should not be going into business ventures with somebody that's an unbeliever. It could cause problems. Shouldn't buy a rental property with somebody that's lost. You shouldn't start a business with somebody that's lost. If you've already in it, then you just got to go hang on for the ride and hope that they all get saved or you can be a witness or whatever. It may be. We believe Christians have. Here's where we've dropped one of the biggest places. Christians have dropped the ball is in separation. Christians have no business marrying a lost person. Christians have no business dating, courting a lost person. If the boy you like does not have a biblical, I don't care if he's raised in a preacher's home, if he can't give you, yeah, I remember that one, oh goodness, the Tangled, where she's holding the frying pan of him, you better not get between me and loving Jesus. That's all I can think of when I think of. And I wish you'd be that way. Before you ever talk to any boy, you better know his testimony. And you better make sure that it's plain and clear and a biblical sounding testimony of salvation. If you're married, if you've gotten saved and you're married to somebody that's lost, that's different. Unfortunately, that's where Paul talks about it. Now, he does not talk about, bless you, he's not talking about divorce. That's where a lot of people use the excuse, well, if the unbelieving want to depart, let them depart. You're not under any kind of under burden. If I may be, you know, a little bit there, but I'm paraphrasing. That does not say divorce. He never says divorce. Paul does not say divorcing. He says if the believer that's married to the unbeliever, the unbeliever is trying to depart, you can't stop them. Unfortunately, you can't stop them. But he does not say divorce. You should not divorce. If the unbeliever wants to leave, then you can't stop them, but that still does not give a license to divorce or an excuse to divorce. The Bible plainly teaches and says, Paul himself says it in that same area, that a woman is bound to her husband under the law until death. That there's no if, ands, or buts. The same thing. I mean, you say, well, but what about the man? The man is bound to his wife under the law until death do them part. There's no such thing as divorce in God's eyes. If you're divorced and you're saved, yes, it's under the blood. I understand that. But you should not, if you've ever been through it, and you're saved, you should not want anybody to go through that. And you should want preachers to preach on it. Because, listen, if you've been through it, my wife went through it with her parents and watching what it did. And yes, her dad made a profession, apparently, according to what she says and believes. It seems that he got saved before he died. But in his mind, They were Catholic. Her mom and dad were Catholic. He took the wedding vow seriously. He did not want to. Did not believe in divorce, according to what she said. Her mom's the one that wanted to. But listen, it is a very important thing for Christians not to do. Not to yoke up. And I'm going to give you scripture. 2 Chronicles 19:2. And Jehud, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." Now, this is not saying, he tells us to do good to our enemies. But in this sense, what he's talking about here and what this man has done, he has helped the ungodly and them that hate the Lord in the wrong sense. In the wrong sense. There is a right and wrong sense you need to know. It's kind of like these parents that constantly bail their kids out. Every time their kid gets in kind of financial trouble, they'll bail the kid out. The kid never learns anything. And Jesus himself told us to do good to your neighbors, love thy enemies. There's a difference between loving your enemies and treating them right and full on out helping them out in their wickedness. If Joe's at the gas station and he knows there's a guy up there saying, "I need some gas money," and Brother Joe knows that the man's a drunkard, and most likely he's going to spend the money on booze, the wrong thing for him to be doing would be to hand him money. Now he could go, "I'll tell you what, I'll get you some gas in your car and help you out." But when you help somebody into their sin, that is, it's wrong. You say, "No, I didn't know that." Well, there are times that you may do it ignorantly, but just be warned. This day and time, we don't do it. Bless you. We don't help people out like that. And it's not trying to be mean. We've had people ask the church, I won't say names, but most of you know, because that there's a couple that we've helped a couple different times with gas. They come and ask for gas and other things. We never give them money. I'm not giving them money. I'll go buy them gas for their tank, but I will not help them. And I told them the last time, I said, "That's it. You don't show up for church." I said, "I can't help you no more." There's only so much times that you can help somebody, and then you're just enabling me. That's all you're doing. So you need to be careful when doing that. That's what Jehoshaphat apparently was not doing it in the right sense. Here you can read the story and see how all that goes about. But that's you need to know not to be, that we are to be separated from unbelievers in that sense. Go to Amos chapter 3. Amen. Here's one a little bit more we all should be able to understand. Maybe not Bonnie, she's a little bit young, but the rest of us can. Amos 3:3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You can't walk with somebody that you're not. You ever tried that? I've seen people do this. Mess with people, go to the mall or something like that, walk around Walmart, and you see somebody walking, just walk up beside them and start walking with them. Just to mess with them. You know what it does? It messes with people. What do? Why do they do that? Because we're not in agreement. We're not in agreement. I don't know who this person is. They know who I am. Can two walk together except to be in agreement? You have to be in agreement. That's what is a church. The same thing. Two people, the church, the pastor, and the congregation need to be in agreement for the church to continue on and walk orderly and go in the right sense. If the pastor's trying to pull in one direction and the church wants to go in a different direction, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm not talking about, you know, the pastor being a dictator. I'm against that. But, you know, you got to be on board. If we'll put it this way, if the pastor wants to support missions, and I'm thankful everybody pretty much in here has gotten on board with that, but if I wanted to support missions and nobody else wanted to get on board with missions, we wouldn't be able to walk together in agreement. If I wanted to raise the money to put a new church sign out here, and y'all said, I don't want a church sign. We got one, look, it's standing, and it's got stuff out there. Preacher, why would he, it's not going to work out. Can two walk together, except they'll be agreed? He's asking a question. No, you can't. Some of y'all are going to go try this next time you're at Walmart. You're just going to walk up beside some random stranger and see what happens. Start walking with them. I've seen, but it messes with people. It does, because we're not in agreement. You got to be agreed to walk together, to be able to go lockstep. That's why, just like with baptism, I'm not trying to be mean or belittle somebody. If somebody's been baptized by somebody else, I'm not trying to do that. But we can't accept every baptism. If somebody's not been baptized properly with the proper authority, meaning that they were baptized, like I've said, they were baptized in a church that did not baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, we can't accept that. If somebody was baptized by sprinkling, we can't accept that. If somebody was baptized in a church where they taught that baptism was part of salvation, we can't accept that. But there's, I could go on and on, but y'all understand those type of things. Because, baptism does not add to your salvation, but it is saying I identify with this church and this church's doctrine, this pastor and his doctrine is what you're saying when you're baptized. And so if that's the case and you've not been baptized properly, then you need to be baptized properly. It's not trying to belittle you. It's not trying to be mean to you. I'm a lot more lenient in it than a lot of men. Some men, they act like if the church, even if you got baptized in a Baptist church, if they weren't using the King James Bible, then we're going to have to baptize you again. I wouldn't go that far. Though I'd probably take a stronger stance against that than some of the things they take. That's the way it is. It's not trying to be mean, but we just can't accept it. I can't accept the certain things, certain kinds of baptism, certain kinds of church, but we don't accept church, church membership from other churches. Now, if you were a member of another church, it's not to fool you, but if you came in here, you was a member of the Methodist Church, and we're not looking for your membership. We would accept you by a admission that I have been saved, and I've been baptized. If you've been saved, you got a biblical testimony, and you've been baptized properly, then we don't care about a letter from Methodist Church. It's not to belittle you. It's just that we're not ecumenical. Same thing is, if you leave here and try to go to a church of not like faith, we can't send a letter to that. It's not, we're not trying to be mean. We just don't yoke up with others. We're not ecumenical. So, again, you may be fine, but I'm just giving examples, hypothetical examples, okay? Go to John chapter 2 real quick. I got to speed up because I'm going to try to get through two of these tonight, and I'm slowing myself down. John chapter 2, but I want to make sure that I'm laying a good framework for what this is for separation. John 2, verse number 15 through 17, said, John 2:15, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. This church, again, that's what I just like talking about with the others. I'm not saying that every denomination's out for getting money. I was going to say that Sunday in my message Sunday, talking about gaining. Jesus was not anything like these bunch of televangelists. They're riding around in expensive jets and millions of dollars. I'm not saying that preachers got to be dirt poor. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. If the church can afford to pay a man $1 million, then so be it. But some of these men are making $30 million a year, and they're still on television begging people for more and more money. And they wonder why Christianity has such a bad name. And Jesus said, we're not to make, we don't do that. That's why I'm not, again, don't take this the wrong way. My children know, That's why we don't take up an offering. We take this up, that's it. If you want to give, anybody comes in here, wants to give, if they want to give bad enough, we'll tell them where the box is. We're not begging for money. We're not begging. I guess we are spare change. But we ain't begging. I'm just not begging. That was just something God put in my heart. When we started the church, the next one may be different. If God wants us to start another church, we may take up an offering. I don't know. But that was just the way that God put it on my heart, to put a box at the back and just let it go. It's between you and God. You want to slide something in there? It's between you and Lord. The church has never struggled for money. Money's went down a little bit. It's gone up a little bit. But we've always paid our bills, and we've been able to do extra stuff as of right now. So that's good enough for me. I'm just not begging for money. I'm not that way. We do take up special things. We do do the missions. But that's still a personal thing. There's not one of those cards. Brother Joe and Brother Mike, I think it was, that y'all counted the faith promise cards. We know the two that counted the faith promise cards this year. No, not one name on them, right? Y'all didn't see not one name on them faith promise cards, right? It's between you and God. How much you give, just like it is between us. We're just not making this into a house of merchandise. Now, selling things and different things like that, I've just felt like it should be run. The church should be run on tithes and offering of the local church. Now, when some men come in here, and now because I don't, we're not all the time. When some men come in here, like Brother Walker, come in here and have a couple books for sale, that doesn't bother me because we're not doing that all the time. That's his personal thing. That's just to help him out. Is anybody else? Seemed like it was somebody else. Maybe not.
One guy sold the pictures and stuff.
Brother Farm, yeah. See, Brother Farm did. Yeah, he had books. I knew someone else had books in there. But I bought books too. It's not a continual thing. We ain't got the bookstore. And then some churches set up a bookstore. I'm not necessarily against that because it's a separate thing. It's not in the sanctuary. It's not a, these people, they were constantly, the whole purpose of the Old Testament law, you were supposed to raise your lamb. You were supposed to raise your doves, your sacrifice, and bring it to the church, to the tabernacle, and sacrifice it. What they were doing was, oh, Brother Joe, you're coming all the way from Plainville. Well, it's okay. You know what? Next time, don't worry about bringing a sacrifice. We'll save you one right here. See, and that there was nothing put into it. The whole purpose of the Old Testament sacrifices was so you could see Christ, but also so that they had some skin in the game. They were to take meal. If they couldn't, God gave them different things. If you couldn't afford a lamb, you could give pigeons or turtle doves. Is pigeon one? Well, mine don't like, I said pigeons, but I think pigeons. Or turtle doves at different times for sacrifices. But it was to be something that you did. You were to have some skin in the game. It was to be something that you worked at and raised and had to. Why? Because it makes that more personal. When you have to watch that lamb die for you, it makes it more personal. Just as like when we watch Calvary, when you get saved, you see Calvary finally for the first time as a personal thing. It's the same thing. So, we're to be separated. We're not to be like the world. We're not to be begging for money. We're not to be, we don't go around, when we go knocking doors, we're not going around asking for an offering for the church. When we go around knocking for doors, we're looking to get people in church. We're not going around selling stuff. I'm not trying to put down, if other churches do that, that's on them. We are not. By the help and grace of God, if other churches got to step in to help us, then others have, you know, agreed to help us, just like others have helped Brother Shepherd. But a church should be run. If the time comes and this church gets up and supporting the pastor, for $2,000 a month, and some things happen and the church can't afford to support him for that amount, God forbid, then, you have to do what you have to do to back down. That doesn't mean you go out into the thing begging. We are different. In that sense, I got to move on. Romans chapter 12 now. We've got to hurry up. Romans chapter 12. Amen. I'm only going to get through this one tonight.
Romans chapter 12 now. Verse number 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. This is for those that are saved. Those of us that have been saved by God's grace. I beseech you therefore, brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, by the mercies of God. Y'all know I've talked about this, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God owns you. This is God's property. The Bible tells us that you are bought with a price. You are not your own. And that may be the other verses that we're going to get into here in a minute. He said, be not conformed to this world. That's why we're not to dress like the world. We're not to listen to the thing the world's... We're not to listen to the world's music. We're to be very careful what we listen to. We're not to dress like the world. We're not to have haircuts like the world. Just because women are butchering their hair off does not mean that our women should. The Bible says a woman's hair is her glory. That means the more hair a woman has on her head, the more glory she has. A man is ashamed, the Bible says, for a man to have long hair. I don't care how many of these men walk around with man buns on top of their head. There, it is wicked and it is effeminate is what it is. I don't care how big and bad they think they are. They're effeminate when they have that little man bun garbage on top of their head. And I tell every one of them to their face. It don't bother me. I'm sick of the churches bending over. This has been going around now. There's these two sodomites that are real popular because they claim to be conservatives. And everybody's putting their stamp of approval on them now because they're going to be daddies and they're calling them husbands. They're not husbands, they're sodomites. And I'm sick and tired of religious people, so-called religious people, bending over and kissing the butts of sodomites by calling two men husbands. They're not husbands. To be a husband, you got to be married to a woman. To be a wife, you got to be married to a man. There ain't no wiggle room or if, ands, or buts about it. A wife is a woman married to a man. A husband is a man married to a woman. And I'm sick of this world and so-called religious conservatives and everything else kissing up to the world and using the world's propaganda is what it is. They're sodomites. They're not gay. If they were gay, they'd be happy. If they were happy, they wouldn't be in that lifestyle. It's amazing in that lifestyle they refuse to allow studies to be done to show you how rampant the drug abuse and the suicide rate is among them. Because if they did, it wouldn't be popular anymore to be that way. Because drug abuse, STDs, and suicide run rampant in that community because it is not happy. They are miserable in that lifestyle. And ain't none of them born that way. So sick of this garbage, and this Christians need to be separated and stop bending over kissing the feet of these bunch of things. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will, one will of God for your life. You need to know what it is. When you can tell me beyond a shadow of doubt, but I like him, Daddy. I don't care whether you like the boy. Tell me that it's God's will for your life, and I'll be ready to put my stamp of approval on it. Tell me that what you want to do in life and what you want to be and who you want to marry is God's will, and I'll be ready to back you up. Just know, there's been girls before you that have been deceived into marrying a bunch of wolves in sheep clothing. That's why I tell you not to take it lightly. I know he's from a good preacher's boy's home, and I love Brother Dale, I love his family. But I'm just telling you, there's been girls before you thought the same thing and married a bunch of wolves in sheep clothing. Just telling you, be careful. Be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed. We're not to look to the world for our standards. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick. Just a couple more and I'll be done tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. This is what he's talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? That goes for everything. A lot of times we use this for marriage. But it goes for everything. Business ventures. Any of that kind of stuff that you can think of. I'll be honest with you, and I think I've told you this before, but for the grace of God, that we are where we're at right now. Love you, I love y'all's mama, I love my wife, but according to that Bible, I did wrong by dating her. And now, it's God's will, because we're married, thank the Lord that she really got saved, because she could have ruined my ministry before it ever got started. I knew the call of God was on my life before we even got married. I told her the call of God was on my life. She could have ruined my ministry and any chance I had to serve God. But for the grace of God, I don't advise anybody to do that. I don't advise anybody to take that chance. Thank the Lord that she really got saved. Look at Bradford, Miss Foreman Brooke Tim's son. Hey, I won't say lucky. I got blessed. In my mistake. I don't know if Bradford's is a mistake or not. Bradford's wife was a missionary's daughter. And look where they're at. She refuses to go to church. She refuses to serve God. I'm just telling you, just because somebody's in church, you better know. Man, just because somebody's out of church don't mean they can't be saved and get right. I'm just telling you, it can happen. But for the grace of God, I am where I am. Because my wife and I really got saved, and I did what I did, dating her. We got married. She could have drugged me down. We could have been in a mess. I could have been in a mess. All because I was young and dumb. He goes on. What concord hath Christ with Beelzebub? Or what part hath he that believeth with infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, this is the verse. You got to be very careful, okay? You got to, context is very important, what he's talking about here, okay? This is where the Amish and some of the others get out there. Well, we're to come out from among them and be ye separate. Yes and no, okay? You go back into other Paul's writing, and Paul says, if you been talking about separation, he says, if you did come out from totally out, he says, then you must needs come out of the world. But God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you totally out of the world, because if all Christians did what the Amish did and were separated like they are, if they were really saved and really all Christians did what they did, you know what would happen? There'd be no light in the world. There'd be nobody to reach the world. If the Amish were right in what they're doing in their separation, where are their missionaries to reach the people of the world? There's none. There's nobody reaching. There's no Amish missionaries. They're in their little group, and yes, there are some people that leave this life and go to the Amish because they think they want it because of the simpler life, not because of the religious value. They're not looking at it from the religious point. That's that one thing. A lot of people leave the regular world, go to the Amish because they're tired of the social media. And I'll tell you what, it ain't a bad thought with some of this stuff, but that ain't the way God intended. Come out from among them, be separate, say the Lord means that, hey, we're to be separated. That does not mean we're to be totally out of the world, because Paul says that. But what that means is, hey, we shouldn't be going to the bars. We shouldn't be going to the honky-tonks and all these other things like this. We need to be very particular about places we do go. You ain't got no choice about going to the grocery store with them and other things like that. That's understandable. But we have no business going to the clubs. We have no business doing those kinds of things like they do. That's why a lot of preachers that I know, my wife and I know,
refuse to go to the movie theaters at all. They're not saying that there ain't probably there couldn't be some decent movies to watch. But a lot of people, they believe if they saw you going in there, they could be saying, well, they're going to watch that wicked movie over there. And I understand what they're saying, but I mean, they could do that about anything. I mean, they could see me at Walmart and say, well, he's probably in there buying some tobacco, or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so you could use it either way. So, you know, but I understand that. I know a lot of men that gets, I've met many men through my years of being saved, 21 years of being saved. I've met many that got saved out of alcohol, drunkard's life, that refused to go to any restaurant or any grocery store that sold alcohol. They refused to go anywhere. And I commend that. But also know out here, they're few and far between grocery stores and restaurants that don't sell alcohol. So, I commend that. But dear man that I really looked up to and really loved, he was saved out of that. He did. I beat his wife and all that and got saved out of that. He refused to go to any restaurant. And I never heard him say anything about grocery stores. But I know that he told me, I never go to any restaurant that sells alcohol. And I commend him for that. I'd say he's probably with the Lord by now. He was an older man last I seen him 20 years ago. But sometimes you don't have that. I understand that. But you just have to be, that's why you have to be very careful. That's why we have in our constitution, we have in our state, our church covenant, that you are not to work at a place that sells alcohol for that, that's sold for that purpose, to get drunk and to consume alcohol. We stand against that. And it's hard out here. I know. It's hard out here. Unfortunately, the Family Dollar, of all things, I didn't think would start selling alcohol. I hardly go in there. I'll go to Dollar General. At least they hadn't lowered their standard to doing that. Now, if they both start too, I ain't got much choice. But right now, I do most of my business like that at Dollar General or the grocery store. I'm not going into a place that, if I can help it, that's me. I'm not going to put, that's between you and the Lord on that. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3:6. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. This is separation. We need to be separated. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So Paul's saying, told the Thessalonians, if you've got somebody that's claiming to be saved and they're walking contrary to what we've told you, you're to withdraw yourself. That goes along with 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is. He says, if any man calls himself a brother and he does these things, fornicator, drunkard, you're not even supposed to sit down and have a meal with him. Same thing. 2 Thessalonians is saying the same thing. If they claim to be a brother and they're living a sinful life, you're to withdraw yourself from them. Now, I've talked about this and prayed about this. There's some things that we've talked about, different things, especially with people that are worldly. We've just purposed in our heart that if somebody is unwed and they're having a child wedlock, we don't participate in the baby shower, even if they don't claim to be Christians. That's understandable. If they're not claiming to be a Christian, according to the Bible, if they're not claiming to be a Christian, then there's really not that much other than the fact that you're just being a testimony to them saying, I love you, but I can't do this because I believe according to that Bible it's wrong. But if they're a brother and they're doing this, it's totally wrong. It upset us. Her sister in North Carolina, her younger sister, not the one that came out here to visit, but the one that came out here, a Baptist church, Southern Baptist church, threw her baby shower when she was having a baby out of wedlock. Burn us up. Here we are trying to be a testimony to my sister-in-law, my wife's sister. We're trying to be a testimony to her, and a Baptist church throws her baby shower in their fellowship hall. I have a child out of wedlock. What kind of testimony is that? That's why I said, we don't walk according. It ain't just, you know, Methodist or Lutheran, but we don't accept a lot of the Southern Baptist garments that goes on. And there's some independents. That's what that church up there, that Westboro Baptist church up there in Topeka. We would, hey, let you know, right now, if somebody come from there and claim to be saved and baptized, I'm not accepting their baptism because they're Calvinist and I can't accept the baptism from them. It ain't just these other denominations I'm picking on. There's certain Baptists. Just because they're Baptist don't mean I'm taking their baptism either. Because there's some of them I couldn't take either, especially if they come from a Calvinist church. He said, if they're doing these things and they claim to be a brother, I'm telling you, through the years, me and my wife, I don't know, I can't say that we've made every right decision. I cannot say that. We've prayed about certain things. Sometimes we've even separated from our own families at different times. But there are some times in your life it's going to be that way. You personally need to pray and say, I'm going to stand before God, and I've got to give an account, not the pastor. I've got to give an account. How do I need to handle this? If somebody in your family is having child wedlock, but they don't claim to be Christians, and they're having a baby shower, that is between you and God. But we just decided that we're not going to. We're going to love the baby when it gets here. We love our nieces. Both of my wife's sisters, all three now, have had children out of wedlock. All three of her sisters have had children out of wedlock. We love them. We love the sisters. But they know that we condemn it. That it's wrong. We do not put our stamp of approval on them. I mean, we practically raised one of them. We had one of them so long, raising her up. I mean, she worked. We told her we wasn't keeping her overnight, but we kept her basically for the first 4 years of her life so much that she was around our daughter, she called us mom and dad. And we made that influence on her. But she knows to this day that we don't put our stamp of approval on the lifestyle she lives. But I tell you this, she's never claimed to be a Christian. She's never claimed to be a Christian. So, you got to pick your battles wisely. I'm just letting you know, when you get older, you're going to have to pick the same thing. Hope by the grace of God, you don't have to hurt any of your sisters. But your cousins may be different. You got to know. But that's why biblical, that's why you need to be prayed up. You need to know and walk with God and pray about these things in the separation there. He said, "For withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly." If somebody's a brother and they're fornicating, that's why if there is church membership. That's why there is church discipline, those kind of things. Because as a church, sometimes you may have to do that. Go down, last of all, 2 John 1 real quick and I'm done. For the night. 2 John chapter number 1. I'm in 1 John. I'm not going to get there in 1 John. You beat me. 2 John, there's only one. Verse number 7 through 11. Says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." So if they deny that Jesus is God in the flesh, we're running into that right now. There's a lot of people out here running around that says, well, he's the Christ or he's the Messiah, but he's not God. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Had one today. This is how ignorant people are. Had one today and put the verse in Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 14:6. I may be wrong, but you can look in the book of Isaiah. It says, "Unto us a son is going to be born." I'm going to paraphrase. "His name will be the Everlasting Father and the Mighty God." And they still said, "Well, that doesn't apply. That's not true. That's just saying." What? And I'm like, "This is the ignorance of people." The Bible says that he was in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. They're claiming because he made himself a servant that he was not God. No, he was a loving God that loved us enough to take on the form of a man, the flesh, so that he could die on Calvary's cross for your sins and my sins. So he would know what it meant to be hungry. So he knew what it meant to be thirsty. He knew what it meant to not have a home. You know what it was meant? To cry for a friend. Jesus knew what it meant. He wept for his friend Lazarus. He did all those things and many more for you and I. He experienced them so that you and I could relate to him even better. There's no other God, little g, in this world that can relate to you like Jesus Christ can.
He said, if they're coming to the world and they're denying these things, they're an antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not. Let me verse number 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's why. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. Mormons believe Jesus was a created being, that he obtained godhood, but he was a created being. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was a created being, that he was not God. Neither one of them are right. Do not bid them Godspeed. Do not say God bless you or anything like that if they come to your door. You can give them the truth and you can tell them what the Bible says, but do not bid them Godspeed, because it'll bring sin. He said, he don't receive them into your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Think about that.
Now, we can't lose your salvation, but if you bid one of these Mormons or one of these Jehovah's Witnesses Godspeed, God bless you, whatever like that, do not be very careful what you say to them, because he said yours is it's just as if you're a partaker of their deeds, evil deeds. Be very careful what you say to somebody that's a false doctrine that does not believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Do not wish them Godspeed. Do not say God bless you. Any of those things, be very careful what you say to somebody, because you bring a curse upon you yourself by saying that. I'm just warning you. That's what the Bible says. God says, don't bid against Godspeed. Don't bring any house. Any of those things. Be very careful when you're dealing with somebody of false doctrine.
That goes for unbelievers too. If somebody's denying Jesus Christ, now somebody can be saved out of that, but if somebody's denouncing it or saying that Jesus is not God, be very careful what you say to them. I'm telling you. You do not want to be a partaker of that.
That's what goes back all the way to that 2 Chronicles verse that we just read about how he bring my evil upon his house because of helping the wicked. I want to see people get saved out of the Jehovah's Witness background too. I want to see people get saved out of Mormon background too. But you got to be very careful. Just like any other, dealing with any other religion, I want to see people saved out of Muslim background. I want to see people saved out of Hindu background, Buddhist background, whatever else. Baptist background, if they're lost in a Baptist background. I don't care what they're on. Be very careful what you say to them if they're a denier of Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. He said that's the spirit of the Antichrist is what that is. Do not bid them Godspeed.
Separation. Christians should be separated. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Be very careful. God does not say that we can't have nice things.
But if all our concern about is racking up houses, if all our concern about is buying the next, but if all you're concerned about is buying the next rifle that comes out, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He didn't say you can't have things in the world, but don't love the things of the world. Don't let it stop you from loving God. Don't let it stop you from loving God. You can love the... But, you know, just don't let that stop you from loving God. Again, I go back to that little meme of Rapunzel holding that frying pan. Y'all ain't seen it. I have to see if I can't find it for you. Y'all seen Tangled, the Tangled Rapunzel, the cartoon that they put out a few years ago? She's holding a frying pan to the guy, the bad guy at the beginning. It's a frying pan, and it's a meme, you know, and it says at the bottom, "You better not get in the way of me loving Jesus." And she's holding it, and I'm like, "That's exactly right. You better not get in the way. If he's going to get in the way, it's better for him to go on. If she's going to get in the way, it's better for them to go on." Biblical separation. We believe Christians should be different in the things that we do. The way that we dress. All those things. Music.
The way that we look. The way that we talk. I know people struggle with that. I know men that struggle with cussing and things like that. That's where God, that's what an altar's for, to help you with those things. If you struggle with them, that's what this altar's for, is to help you get it under the blood. Any questions tonight about separation? None? All right. Let's all stand this evening. I'm going to give an altar call. I just feel led to. If you need to come this evening, no music. No music. If you just need to come do business with God, maybe you haven't been as separated as you should be, come on tonight. Do business with God. It's not about doing business with me. It's you doing business with God. Hope all hearts and minds are clear tonight. Father, I thank you for the day. Thank you for these and their faithfulness, God, to the house of God. May it rub off on others. Lord, may people get saved. That's what we need, God, and get fully sold out to you. Now, be with us tonight. Bless the food we're about to receive to nourish from our bodies. Thank you for it. And just bless the time fellowship this evening. May you get the glory and honor from La Crosse Independent Baptist Church. Bring us in some people, God, that will help us and help this thing grow for the